Hey, good morning, everyone. This is your guy, Larry, and we're going to get into the verse of the day as well as the devotional and prayer. So let's start off with the verse of the day. Today's verse of the day is found in James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. So I think this is a pretty powerful verse this morning. This is talking about the Lord's return. We have the fact of the matter is that the Lord is coming soon. And we've heard it said, at least I've heard it said for almost throughout the entirety of my life, as far as what I've known of in church and stuff. And I've heard my grandmother in church talk about the Lord's return and how he's coming soon. That's been so many years ago now. So I have to say that it's been not, revealing my age too much, but it's been over 40 plus years now. And yes, the Lord has not returned yet. Thank goodness for a lot of us. But it's also a time in which gives us more anticipation more than ever, because as we see the things that are going on in our world today, and we see things that are kind of almost lining up with what the Bible is talking about when it comes to his return and looking for it. But according to this verse, like he says, it says, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. And then it compares this quickly to the farmer who patiently waits for the rains to fall in the spring. So he understands, from a farmer's point of view, and I've never been a farmer, but it shows that, obviously the farmer has did all the work that he's done, planting the seed and waiting for, the next part of the rains to come and fall from the sky to begin to have a harvest eventually. And that says also, it says they eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. So what we see here is there's a process for the farmer to plant, then for the rains to come, and then also the seasons as it goes from in the fall and in the spring. Okay. And it says they eagerly, that means that eagerly, they use the word eagerly here almost as anticipation. They're excited. They're not in a way they're just, not excited, but they are excited. And that's how we are. It says eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. So you can almost see the peeking out of the, I can only imagine again, as a farmer, sees the beginning buds of what he's already planted. And, when I think about this, also when it comes to this example of the planting, right now is a time more than ever before for us to share our faith with others. Sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, sharing the reason why God had sent his son into our world to die for our sins. That sharing is like the farmer who plants the seed, that hopefully in praying that the Lord will continue to work on the heart of maybe your neighbor, your friend, a relative, someone that's close to you. And that prayer is always to the point where, you pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They will give their heart to God before Jesus Christ comes back. And we are anticipating, if you're a believer, you're anticipating the Lord's return. But while you're waiting, while you're eagerly waiting, like the farmer is, you're waiting for that harvest. You're the farmer. We are the farmer that is out there sowing the seed of the gospel. And then it says here, it says, he revisited revisits being patient. He says in verse 8, "You too must be patient. Take courage, for the Lord, for the coming of the Lord is near." Again, there's a lot of, you know, like I said, there's a lot of signs, even now as I speak, in this time that I'm living in now, that we're living in, that are pointing to events that could be happening in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of things that are in the world. Unfortunately, there are wars in other parts of the world right now. And there has been famine. There has been hunger. There's been disease. There's been a lot of things that the Bible in the scriptures are clearly talking about. And the Lord tells us this. He tells us, when you see these signs, you know, look up. That means look up with anticipation that the Lord is drawing near. And again, as I said before, that could be an exciting time for us that are believers, that we're waiting for the Lord to return. But it also means that while you're waiting, to make sure that you're planting the seeds of the gospel, the seeds of the gospel for others to hear God's word. Never before are we living in a time where you can hear the gospel, whether it be through a Bible app, as I'm reading to you from now, also through a podcast. Also, you can get the gospel message on YouTube. You can get it on so many ways, social media, other than TV and radio now. So more than ever before is a gospel message being spread, and the anticipation is growing. And even the accessibility of the gospel has been able to be more accessible in all languages and all different translations everywhere. You know, it's coming in songs, it's coming in ministries and preaching, it's coming in all these different formats. And so I really encourage you, just like it says in the scripture, to anticipate the Lord's coming, anticipate his coming again. And while we're anticipating, continue to work until he comes. So with that being said, let's get into the devotion for today. So it says, the sweetness of patience. Have you ever plucked fruit prematurely? Perhaps you were allured by its vibrant color and sweet scents moving through the air. But when you took the first bite, you realize it lacked the ripeness you anticipated. Everything seems right at first glance, but there was one missing ingredient, and that was time. Even the simple act of picking fruit can teach us about time and patience. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too must be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. The author, James, penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a community of Jewish converts to Christianity dispersed throughout various regions. These early Christians faced many trials, including persecution and opposition, because of their newfound faith. James called to the wait patiently and endure was more than mere words on a page. They were a lifetime of hope and encouragement in the midst of adversity. And just as those early believers confronted trials, we too will encounter challenges and suffering in our Christian journey. And just like those early believers, you can choose patience, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to ripen within you, no matter the season of life. And when you do, your character will mature, your faith will deepen, your relationship with God will become sweeter than you could ever imagine. Patience always bears the fruit of perseverance and strength, even today and even for you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for another wonderful morning. Thank you for a wonderful day. I pray with every listener that is listening to the sound of my voice right now. I ask right now to just continue to have, just minister to them in ways that I could never imagine. Only that you can, Lord God. Continue to guide them. Continue to strengthen them throughout this morning or this week. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your guidance, Lord God. You are a guiding light in the midst of a world that's dark. But Lord, continue to give us encouragement. Give us strength, Lord God. Give us stability, Lord God. Give us provision. Lord, we ask right now, let us worship you, Lord God. Let us praise you, Lord God, from our heart, from our soul, Lord God. Father, I pray for those that are unbelievers. We pray that the gospel message will continue to go out into the world. Help us to give us the words to say. Give us the heart, the mind, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Help us draw closer to you. Help us to draw closer to you as we engage in our culture today. Engage in the world around us, whether it be just around the corner from us or throughout in other countries or in other ways. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made. Thank you for the power of sin that is broken in our lives. Lord, thank you for giving us the life-giving spirit that you have given us, Lord God, to live according to you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that aids us and aids us throughout the rest of our Christian life. Help us to become strong. Help us to become mighty. Help us to become bold for your faith, Lord God. Help us to endure hardship, Lord God. Confrontations, Lord God, whatever it may be, whatever you send our way, Lord God, give us the encouragement through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just ask right now to just continue to rain on us, Lord God, as you come, as your time, as our time is coming to a close, but also as the time is coming closer for your return, Lord God. Help us to continue to anticipate your return. Be ready, Lord God, as well. But staying busy until you come. Let us not sit by and just slowly wait or just kind of be so unexcited or unanticipating, but anticipating your return. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, and we bless you. I pray for every one of my believers, every one of my listeners, excuse me, and every one of those that are listening to the sound of my voice, those that are still making that decision right now, making that decision to follow you for the rest of their life. Maybe those that are still kind of straddling the fence, kind of trying to figure out whether or not they want to give their life to you. Lord, let today be the day that they make that decision, that they open their heart so that you can come in and have a relationship with them for the rest of their life. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for the power that you have in our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you're just tuning into another wonderful and awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast today. Man, this is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. I hope that you're having a wonderful week, wonderful day, morning, whatever time that you are listening to this podcast. So, first of all, let me just say that please, as always, I want to thank you for tuning in, listening to this podcast, whatever time that you have been listening to it. I appreciate your the audience that I have here, as well as just you subscribing and sharing. So again, I'm just really excited to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you all, and just reading the scriptures and learning, and as we're learning and how the scriptures are coming open to us. Amen. So listen, so this is part two of a kind of a sub part within this. I would say maybe part B. but we've been going through Romans chapter 8 in this series now. So once we got to Romans chapter 8, it's been a very how can I say, not heavy chapter, but more detail. There's so much meat in this chapter, so to speak. There's so much, excuse me, that we can get out of this reading this chapter. So as a result, we've been kind of going slowly, actually more slower, and kind of picking apart some of the verses that we are reading in this chapter here. And such good word that I'm even discovering as I'm talking and reading the scriptures right along with you. Hopefully you guys are doing that. So this episode is Romans chapter 8, and I want to say it is verse 18 through verse 30, entitled The Future Glory. Again, this will be a part two, a three part, it will be a three part series, going through Romans 8 here. And, just really, it's kind of a lengthy episode too, as well. And, because we're getting so much out of Romans chapter 8 right now. And I hope that this blesses you so much that we've learned talking about the future glory, talking about how the Holy Spirit will aid us and guide us and what His will is for our lives. And such, so important that we are reading this at a time in our lives right now, in the history of time that we have. So many things that are happening in our world today. But again, our focus should always be on God, should always be on God's will and purpose in our lives. So again, I just hope that that everyone is thinking that way. As always, and you'll hear me say it again, is please continue to study God's word, continue to pray like more than ever before, pursue God in your life, pursue God's will. There's so many things that are happening that will distract us, whether it's just our life in general, but things that we are encountering, things that we're seeing in our time right now. The devil is really busy. There's so many things that we can say that he's doing all kind of things, whether it's social media, the culture at large. I don't want to make everything about the devil, but there are things that in our lives and in the time that we're living in that will fully distract us from what God is wanting you to do, what God is wanting us to do. And I think just making it plain and simple without so much detail is us to understand that we need to just really focus on Him. What does that look like? That means praying more. That means praying in the morning, throughout your day, not be consumed and distracted with our busy lives. I know we have busy lives. I have a busy life, but my desire is to, is to keep my mind and heart on Him, even throughout my busy life of the day. Okay. Busy life of the week. I don't care. We all have situations and circumstances that we encounter, because that is life. So again, back to what I was saying about, blaming everything on the devil. Not everything's the devil. Okay. Not everything is Satan. I'm not going to give him all the credit of the confusion that happens. Some of us, some people do things on their own. And we can't say, oh, the devil made me do it, or a situation happened and it's Satan. But a lot of times life is imperfect. Life circumstances do happen, and whatever they are and however way they come and whoever is behind it, whether it is the devil or not, our goal and our desire is to lean into God more. We have to be followers of Him. We have to be His disciples. We have to be His change agents. We have to be His children. And saying that, That is the goal. That is the will of God for us to become more like him, to be become more like his son. And so, again, without getting really into the meat of this this episode, I want us to continue that. I pray again. I just pray for each and every one of you that this will be just a small part of your encouragement as you seek the Lord. I know that you could listen to all kind of different things too. I mean, as far as different ministries, I participate in our part of different ministries that I listen to and partake of, and I spiritually feed myself through his word. I encourage myself to do that. I encourage you to do that. I encourage my family to do it as well. Feed yourself on God's word, so that in a time of manipulation, in a time of deception, which we are now living in, you can discern the difference between God's will and whether it's your will or your emotions or what is going on around you, whether it's in the culture, things that we see on social media. Those things can distract us. Those things can lead us down a road where we're not focused on God. So by all means, let us really, really focus, keep our eyes on him as the day approaches when Jesus Christ will come back, whether he comes back before we pass away or we pass away and meet him. But either way, always anticipate, like the verse of the day talks about, anticipation of his coming. And while we're waiting, while we're being confident in his waiting, we're also busy sharing the gospel, sharing God's word with others, sharing, being an impact in the world around us. Let us keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds toward God as we're waiting. Amen. All right. I know I had said a lot in this intro. I apologize. But again, I hope that you're having, I hope this is a good episode for you. And sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. So let's get into today's scripture reading of Romans chapter 8 today. So hopefully you have been enjoying this reading so far, and you're having a wonderful day, wonderful week so far. So good morning to each and every one of you. And man, I've been really, really enjoying our reading through the book of Romans. And last week we went through the first part of Romans 8, Do You Belong to Jesus? Very wonderful and just a very good question to have, right? Hopefully you guys, every one of you have had time to think about, do you belong to Jesus? I know I have as well. And just kind of, you know, it's such a good time to reflect and evaluate our Christian walk. I never want us I never wanted to believe that I just have it all figured out, or I'm just comfortable now, right? And we should never be just comfortable. We should be confident in our relationship with God. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be confident and have faith that the Lord, that our relationship with God should always be stable. It's not what we do, it's what Christ has done for us. But as we walk and anticipate, like I was reading the verse of the day this morning, as we anticipate the Lord's return, these are things other than sharing our faith. These are things that we can be doing, you know, continuing reading the scriptures and praying and having those conversations with the Lord and through the power of the Holy Spirit, asking the Lord to just continue to inspect us, right? To inspect us so that we, so that we are still pleasing to the Lord always. We should never walk this this life as a Christian, as a believer, with the expectation that, oh, God is happy with me, or God is satisfied with me, or God is to the point where he doesn't need nothing else from me. You know, God is always active, believe it or not, even though a lot of times we don't hear, or maybe we don't, you know, I speak for myself. Sometimes I don't always hear from the Lord, but at the same time, I also know that God is still on the throne. He's still in control, and he is very, very active. So I always want to have those reflective conversations and have him inspect me. You know, there's a verse in the Bible where, in Psalms, where David says, you know, search me, O Lord, search my heart. You know, he, you know, ask the Lord to search him, search the inside of him, you know. And I think those are the things that as believers, we should always want. We always want God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to inspect us, to help guide us along this journey as we are here on earth. Amen. So that's just a little bit. I have so much. So a lot of times there's so many things that I have to say and enjoy sharing with you all. So let's get into Romans chapter 8. Where we left off is Romans. I want to say it was in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. But today we're going to start on verse 18, entitled The Future Glory. And let's see how much we can get through. This is kind of a lengthy chapter, to be honest with you. And so we'll kind of carry by ear. And if not, we will continue for a part three. So let's go ahead and jump into this. And it's saying here, it says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Let's read that one more time. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Now, let's kind of backtrack just a tad bit, so that I know we've read this, I believe, last week on verse 16. Let's go to start with verse 16. And it says here, it says, for the Spirit, which is capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Okay, to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So that I wanted to go back and read verse 16 and 17. And then, like he says in verse 18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. So this is very, very, very interesting, in which Paul is talking about. We're talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is joined with our spirit, confirming or affirming that we are God's children, and that since we are his children, we are his heirs, which is wonderful, that we are co-heirs basically with him. In fact, it says here, together with Christ, we are heirs of his glory, of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we also must share in his suffering. And as you read some of us have read in places in the Bible, in the New Testament, like the book of Acts, after Christ had died, there was lots of persecution that his disciples went through. It's almost like the continuation of Peter and James and John, and even Paul himself. They all suffered persecution. And how does that compared to us today? Do you suffer in a way that, say, for God's glory? Sometimes that may mean suffering in a way that maybe more extreme, like persecution. Persecution may be physical, may be you know, violent in some ways. Sometimes it could mean emotional persecution. Have you ever been made fun of the faith of you going to church, or maybe you believing in God? Maybe someone has really made you feel bad about believing in the Lord. You know, that, you know, right here in the United States, there hasn't been, at least from what I know, not too much evidence of persecution here in the United States. And that being said, it's because the United States is embraced forms of Christianity and ministries and stuff. We can see that here in our country, we are free to have churches of all different faiths, actually, right here in the United States of America. We don't hear of too much persecution currently, even though there are levels or different types of levels of persecution types, meaning it could be, you know, people not treating you fair, maybe as a business. We've had in our political season right now, whether, you know, what you stand for sometimes could be challenged based on whether or not you accept a certain lifestyle or lifestyle changes. You know, I don't want to get too much into the details of it, but there are some levels of that, and how we have to combat against the lifestyle changes that are happening in our culture today. And if you are an individual that you are a Christian business or a Christian organization, you may be forced to accept certain ways of the world, to adapt to a form of acceptance. And so, again, I'm not going to go really into the details of it, but I'm sure some of you that may be listening to me can imagine what those things or know already what those things are about. And what those different changes are that are coming right here in the United States. In other countries, though, there are more extreme cases. We know that in countries like in China, which is still communist China, they don't allow some of them don't allow the preaching of the gospel there. You will get jailed or you will be persecuted in more severe ways there. Also, places like India and other places in our world today, places in the Middle East still, they do not want you, talking about your faith in Christ, especially. And that's the thing about it, to just piggyback on that thought, is that it's okay to talk about God, but when it comes to Christ, it's totally different. Jesus Christ is almost like a curse word, almost, in a way, for different countries and even different cultures and backgrounds, and in places where there are communists and things like that. They would rather you talk about anything else, but when it comes to Jesus Christ, that it will cause you trouble. It will cause you to be jailed. It will cause you to be persecuted. It will cause such great division when you begin to mention Jesus Christ. So here in the United States, back over here, we not only are we challenged in some of those ways, but we are also challenged by the culture itself, to where they, just recently, there were some things in our, just in the music industry, there has been artists and artists that, you know, music artists that that imitate Christ. They try to imitate him, not in a good way, but in a mocking way. And there are, movies and entertainment of that nature in our world that will mock the crucifixion of Christ, mock the death of Christ, whatever Christ is related to, whether it be the Lord's Supper, whether it be the Christ on the cross. They find a way to ridicule, even over 2,000 years ago, they ridicule it. What are they doing? They are actually mocking or poking fun at the Christian faith, and disrespecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be clear. Even though they are trying, they feel like they are targeting a Christian audience in order for whatever the response they're looking for. But ultimately, if it wasn't for Christ dying on the cross, they wouldn't have nothing to make fun of. They wouldn't have nothing to mock and poke fun at and put it in their music videos and stuff. And I find it very, very offensive. So again, that's just one little example that I can give you. Other than there are a few others here in the United States. Again, like I said, not going further into the details about it, but we have to understand that the suffering, back to what the scripture is saying, the suffering comes through many ways. The church at large, the body of Christ, does go through some sort of a suffering. And so, again, you all may have different experiences than I have even, and maybe even know of some other ways in which we also here in the United States suffer. Okay, so verse 19, it says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are." And again, this is so important in this verse. We started off in verse 1 that for now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay. And so remember, this is I would say conditional, but to understand this, it says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are." And so we live in a time where there's a lot of imitators. We live in a time where I would use the analogy of the wheat and the tare, what Christ had talked about and in a parable about a time when there's the wheat and the tares would grow up together. They would look like one another. They would be in a field until the angel would come and harvest and separate and burn the tares as well and separate the wheat from the tares. So, imagine that analogy. We're living in a world where the body of Christ is coming, or what people understand as the church. And there will be a day, according to the scripture here, that the creation is waiting eagerly for what the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. How does that happen? How will it happen? We also know that the coming of Christ will come with the rapture of the church. And so possibly I'm kind of guessing, but possibly that could be where we will understand, or God will reveal who his children really are, you know? So there, the creation is even waiting. Isn't that amazing what it says? So in verse 20, "Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse, but with eager hope." So again, this, let me try to change the translation of this verse and read it out of the New King James. And we will go again, where he says that in verse 20, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." So this could also mean, and again, I'm not a Bible teacher, but I'm reading it just as you are here. This could also mean that in the midst of our waiting, the creation, because it's saying in the former verse there in 19, is eagerly waiting. It talks about that. And again, in verse 20, it's talking about all creation was subject to God's curse. So what is God's curse? This could also mean that that during this time, even though there was sin that came, that was open, that was basically became through the sin of Adam, through the first man Adam, sin entered the entire human race, but it also affected the creation itself. Sin is very powerful, more than what we know. And I'm only thinking of this verse as I'm reading it, and it only seems to mean, and I might be wrong, but it seems like the earth and all creation is eagerly waiting for the not just the revealing, but the point of the new creation coming. You know, the redemption. I'm sorry, the redemption of what God is going to reveal. Remember, redemption has to happen not just in our lives, but on all in our everything. As we, you know, there's a scripture that I can recall where it says that He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, so the old things will have passed away, and I'm sure I can only guess and assume that the earth itself is also suffering because of man's sin. Remember, going back to Genesis, Adam and Eve, before they made the decision to disobey God, everything was in harmony. Everything was in harmony at one point. As you read the Genesis account, after he created the earth and the skies and all creation, the animals and all the things that God had created, everything was perfect. Remember, everything that he said in Genesis, he said this was good and that was good. This was not just good based on man's idea of being good. It was good because of the way God had created it, and God had pronounced it good. So this might have changed when Adam sinned or disobeyed God, and all of a sudden conflict began to happen in the earth. Remember, murder was a big thing when someone murdered somebody, their blood, just like in the story of Cain and Abel, how even God was wondering about Cain's blood was crying from the earth. Remember that. Remember, Jesus's blood from the cross had went into the earth, and that was a point in which that was also affected. So there's a lot of things that we can point to in the scriptures that we can see how the earth had even been affected by the sin of man, by the just, even now, just in, you know, if we want to look at, you know, what we go through as a race right now, there are so many things in our world today, unfortunately, that are affected by the choices that we have made. Amen. So there's no wonder. It's no wonder in verse 20 that this may mean against its will. OK, all creation was subjected to God's curse. And so there is ultimately, basically, there is eager hope. Okay, verse 21, the creation again is talking about, Paul goes into from almost three verses here about the creation. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. So that is what, you know, kind of what we were talking about here. We're talking about how even the creation, even the earth that we're living on, whether it be the earth as well, but also the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that was made out from God's hand, his God's creation, is eagerly waiting for us. Okay, so I think this is pretty awesome when it says God's children will join God's children. Well, it will be a brand new everything. And so, as I referred to that verse, when he says that, I think it's in Revelations, where he'll say that he is going to be creating a new heaven and a new earth. So I think that, you know, again, I'm assuming that was what Paul could be referring to, is that there will come a time in which everything will be created new. There will be redemption from man's sin, or the power of sin, which we are now experiencing, but also the revealing, the full revealing. That could mean that the rapture of the church, that could mean maybe even past the rapture, when everything has been fulfilled and everything's been taken care of, in Revelations, as we read the last book of the Bible, and we begin to see how everything, God is going to take care of everything. He's going to take care of evil. There will be no sin, no death, no hell, no Satan or anything like that. And eventually all things will come to the will of the Father. And that is going to be a glorious day according to this. Remember, this is entitled The Future Glory. So we will suffer And so many people have either taught whether it could be suffering through the tribulation, or it could mean that we may be suffering right now. So again, that's something to be debated upon when it comes to whether or not we're going to suffer, whether you are post-trib or mid-trib or pre-trib, I should say, or post-trib, okay? So again, that's just something we can debate on. But again, that's not the topic of what we're going through in this scripture reading right now. So let's continue on here. So again, verse 21, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. And so this is so wonderful. Now listen to this in verse 22, another part of the creation. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait for eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If you already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. So before we take a quick break here, let's understand this, is that what do we hope for? We hope for full redemption. We hope for the future glory. There is something that even today, in the midst of all the things that we suffer in our world today, all the things that you may suffer, all the things that we see that's happening in our world, the horrendous things, the sinful things, the inhumane things that are happening all around us in this world. And even when it comes to the compromise and the falling away, or whatever you want to call it, you can just fill in the blank of, there's so many things that are happening right now that almost kind of, like I said, is giving us signs. And I'll be the first to admit that I have been waiting for Christ to come back for it feels like forever, but it's only been 40 plus years for me. But remembering a time when I was a kid, where in church, my grandmother, when she was alive, she would talk about Jesus Christ coming, and that was a long time ago. But again, she anticipated Christ coming. She now is in the presence of the Lord. She's now with God, and so she no longer has to hope for that future glory. She is now participating in the glory in the presence of God. And so in some ways I envy her, but at the same time, we too, we have to have that future hope, okay? And that's something to always remember, that when you're having a bad day or you're seeing what's going on in the world today, maybe things are affecting you in your life, always remember that we have a future hope. We have a future hope. If you're trusting in the Lord, if you're waiting and anticipating eagerly for the hope of glory, you have a hope. We don't have it yet, but like the Bible says, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And that's the two words to remember: patiently and confidently. That means that we're, you know, like I just said, I've been saying that I've been waiting since for 40 plus years of my life that Jesus Christ will come. But I have to not only be patient, but I'm also have to be confident. I have to not lose hope. Well, I know it happened I know that my grandmother talked about it a long time ago, but it still hasn't happened yet. Maybe he's not coming. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe we are all doomed. You know, there's so many things that unfortunately sometimes we think in ways that will succumb to the suffering that is here on the earth right now. But God in his word is telling us to to continuously be patient and continuously wait. It's so much in line with God's, with the memory verse of this morning as well, about being patient and waiting for the return of the Lord. Amen. So let's take a quick short break, and we'll be right back to continue on what we're reading. All right, so welcome back. Let's continue on here, and we're going to talk through verses starting at verse 26, and it says here, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. I have heard this verse before, and I've also heard it explained in some ways. I'm going to say that the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinity, is the fact that this is one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. This is something that God gives us. Not only does he guide us and direct us throughout our Christian life to help us to guide us along, to help us to know what's pleasing to the Lord, and even certain things that God wants us to do, whether it's a direction that he wants us to take. Maybe he wants us to pray for something. And in this example here, Paul says in here that he helps us, or the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Okay. This could mean that the weakness means, the frailty of man, of our humanness, of our flesh. Okay. Remember, as we talked earlier in some of the passages of scripture that we read, we talked about living in according to the Spirit, right? We talked about living or following after the Spirit and submitting to the Holy Spirit now, as opposed to submitting to our way or our will, okay, or our flesh. We are now a slave to righteousness. I still like to use that terminology that I've heard Paul talk about now, because we are no longer we're no longer our own, but we belong to Christ. Okay. Christ died for us. God used Christ as a ransom to save us, to make us his children, make us, now we belong to him. So, he wants to seal us with the Holy Spirit, with his Spirit. And remember this, when we first encountered the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about in scripture here, it also talks about when the Holy Spirit was given. So Jesus Christ, before he left, he said that I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone. You will have the Holy Spirit, which is your comforter, which is also, the Holy Spirit is considered your advocate. It's also one that will aid you throughout your Christian life and will help you along. It is the helper. You've seen it translated in some translations of the Bible as the helper, okay, or the anointing. And so there are so many ways that we can say we can understand we are living in a time of the Holy Spirit, okay? And unfortunately and fortunately, though, there has been so many misuses of not only descriptions, but also I would even say just descriptions, but also representations of the Holy Spirit. We have a time of grace. So therefore, there is a time when right now that God does not, he does not chastise like he would have, of this misuses of, or misrepresentations, I would like to say. I would prefer to call it a misrepresentation. And the reason why I want to say this, and I'll keep it moving to the scriptures here, is that we're living in a time where, people are calling a move of the Holy Spirit, or maybe a demonstration, or maybe someone is acting in such a way in our churches that they say, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, you know, people are doing things like they're prophesying or they're speaking a word over you or something like that. Some of us might have experienced that. And sometimes those things are not real. Sometimes those things are false, and sometimes those things are fake. And so sometimes people will say, oh, thus saith the Lord, and it's not really, it's not accurate, it's not true, it's false. So, and they will say, well, the Holy Spirit has told me this. Or they might be, you know, there's situations where people are convulsing or in the church, or they're, you know, acting in unseen ways, and they're saying that they're blaming it on the Holy Spirit. So again, I just want to kind of put that out there as we're going through this here. But this is a very interesting and a very accurate explanation that Paul is giving about the Holy Spirit. He says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Okay. For example, he gives an example. We do not know, or we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. What does that sound like? What is that? Is it a sound? Is it something that, that will come upon you? I will not say that this is exactly what I feel that these groanings may sound like. You know, a lot of times, you know, the Lord may prompt you to pray for something. Okay. Some of you, like myself, may have experienced you know, waking up in the middle of the night or in the early morning to suddenly pray for someone. Sometimes you might be driving, just giving you examples of different situations that may occur where you could be on your way somewhere to a destination, and you may see maybe an accident on the side of the freeway or side of the highway, and the Lord may prompt you, the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, will prompt you to pray. Okay. Maybe, another way to think about it is when we're watching the news, like I always talk about, watching media, watching social media, things that bother you, things that really are, make you feel, really sad in your spirit about, what you're seeing on television, what you're seeing on the news, what you're seeing on social media. Like I explained further about the mockery in which certain cultures or certain the music industry, you know, certain artists are utilizing or are actually mocking Christ. It's a, you know, just really makes you feel really down in your spirit about it. Even certain things about the church and how it's compromising sometimes, and it can kind of get you to that place emotionally, but also the Holy Spirit could be prompting you to pray. Okay. Pray for the strength of the church. Pray for that individual that you may see that is demonstrating, Christ in their music video. Okay. That is, you know, creating a mockery. I'm using those things and those situations as an example because it's already has happened. And so this is an example in which Paul is even maybe saying that the Holy Spirit prays for us in groanings that cannot be expressed. See? And so let's continue on here. In verse 27, the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. Okay? Isn't that interesting? That's very true. Because why? Because the Father is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they're one. So God understands when the Holy Spirit is prompting you and is actually communicating with you through prayer. And if you notice here, there is nothing in this verse, whether it's in verse 26 and verse 27, that it just says about prayer. All right. I want to make this very clear. This is why I was saying that we're living in a time of sensationalism, of acting and all these different things, and saying that, oh, this is the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Listen, one of the things Paul is making clear here is that this is surrounding prayer. If you notice, he says, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us, okay? There's nothing else in here, whether it's healing, whether it's laying on of hands or any of that. It just talks about prayer. And then it continues on here. It says in verse 27, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. Not doing, but saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers. See? So, again, we kind of see in this example here that the Holy Spirit is aiding us as believers in prayer. Okay? And it's expressing to the Father. It's communicating with the Father. This is not talking about speaking in the unknown language of tongues. Okay, it doesn't specifically say that. It is talking about in groanings. When it says groanings, I cannot specifically tell you that this is speaking in a unknown language. I know that sometimes we talk about that too. But in this description of the verse, it's saying that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings. Now, let me just stop right there and add this. A lot of times what we do is we'll take something like this description, and we will make it into something else. Okay? We will make it as though, oh, well, this means that this is a unknown prayer language. But a lot of times it's best for us to not just try to look more into this in a way that to make it into something, but just understand that these groanings, or how this is expressed, is that, again, that cannot be expressed in words. We can't decide what language it is. We can't say, oh, well, this is what the Lord is saying. This is a prayer that is between you and God, or how God is, or the Holy Spirit is directing you. And it is directed towards something. Okay. It is what God is saying. Okay. You need to pray for this. You may wake you up, like I said, in the middle of the night, maybe in the middle of the morning, early morning. Maybe there's a situation that God is prompting you to pray for something, pray about something, a baby, about an event or an individual. Some of you have, excuse me. It's not uncommon to pray for, someone that you may know that the Lord may be prompting you to, through the Holy Spirit, to pray for them. Doesn't mean you call them and say, oh, the Lord has called me to pray for you. Listen, it doesn't necessarily mean that. And I'm not going to limit it to not being that either. What the Holy Spirit does is up to you as an individual. Remember this, though, it is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of a force. It is His Spirit. It is His Spirit, and it is Him, the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus, before He left, He said, I will not leave you comfortless, and He will give you a what? A helper. He will give you a helper, a comforter. Those were the words that He used. And those are the things that we have to understand. This is what the Holy Spirit has been described as. Not, the things that we've seen, whether it be on social media, whether it be our church experiences or what have you. I'm not trying to cause any controversy or maybe, kind of push back on some of your experiences. I've had those experiences as well. And as I've matured, in the Lord and read more and also prayed more, the Lord has begun to, reveal to me more that some of these things are just not biblical. They're not biblical. They're not God. And I will even go as far as saying they're not godly. They will, we have to have discernment. And that is where also the Holy Spirit will aid you and guide you. You have to have discernment of what you see and the experiences that you could be involved with or around, or maybe what you are exposed to. And even now, in a time of being in the last days, there are all kind of ways in which Satan will manipulate, or the devil, basically the the enemy will manipulate a situation, manipulate an experience to make it though, this is it. This is your experience. This is the feeling that you've gotten, the feeling of euphoria, all these things. And this is all mixed in with ungodly things as well in the earth that we also have an experience, because remember the devil imitates. He imitates experiences. He can imitate an experience that we find in the church. He will say this is what it is, or make you feel at that this is what it is. This is why it's important to read the Bible. Also, it's important to pray consistently, and also ask and talk to God. Ask him for discernment. Ask him to keep your eyes open and make sure that it is God. And remember this, there's a verse of scripture where it says that test the spirit by the spirit. That means test the spirit that you're listening from by the Holy Spirit that lives within you. It is so more important, more than ever before in the time that we're living in, to make sure that you are guided by the Holy Spirit. And it's not to scare anyone, but we have to understand that people are doing things, whether it's intentional, maybe they don't know, maybe they're under the understanding that this is what it is, and they might be wrong, or it could be Satan or the devil that could be imitating an experience, making you feel like, oh yeah, this is what it is, when it's really not. Okay, but I want us to, as we read this scripture passage, Paul in this example is pretty much kind of keeping it within the confines. Not to say that all things the Holy Spirit does is just about prayer, but in this scripture, in this verse of scripture that we're reading, he's keeping it as giving us the understanding in this is that this is about prayer. This is about the Spirit of God communicating from the Holy Spirit that lives within you, communicating to the Father in ways that we cannot understand. And there will be a lot of things that we don't understand. And I'm talking about when it comes to God and when it comes to how things are communicated. It doesn't, again, I'm not saying that there will be all this babbling of unknown language. I'm not saying that either. But at the same time, I am not trying to limit it to those things. And I'm not trying to identify this groaning as such. So I just wanted to be clear. I know that people have maybe taught about it or say this is what it is, but reading it for the way it is, I cannot and I don't feel comfortable saying that this is exactly what it is of speaking an unknown language. And I've experienced that. I've seen it. I've been around it. I've grown up under it. So I don't want to say that that's what this is. So let's continue on here. Let's continue on here. Verse 27. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So this is very important to understand that this is what the Holy Spirit does. It communicates with God, but it also communicates with God's will. It's very, very important. There's no way that the Holy Spirit will, the supposed Holy Spirit, I should say, in the way of your communication, and will tell you go and do something when it's not according to God's will. It is always and will always be in harmony, like the scripture says, in harmony with God's own will. It's so important. Now, let's continue on here. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And so this is one of my favorite verses, Romans 8:28. And it is very important to understand that everything that works in your life, everything that happens in your life, everything that you have encountered in your life leading up to your being saved and being born again in God, everything works together. Okay. But then also the other part of this verse, it says for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So it's very important to understand in this verse that it says for the good of those who love God. Again, it's kind of I would say it's almost conditional, because when you think about it, it says for the good of those who love God. Do you love God? Are you his child? This is the kind of been the theme that we've been reading throughout Romans chapter 8, who belong to Jesus Christ, right? Those who are in him. You notice even when we talked about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit has to be living inside of you, has to be praying according to who, in harmony of God's will, in harmony. That's a key word. So those things are all the connectivity that Paul is expressing in this, when he says for the good of those who love God and are what called according to his purpose, not our purpose, not anyone else's purpose, but are called according to God's purpose. So what is that? Purpose. There are things, there is a part of your life, or maybe in your life, that God has a purpose for you. I am not going to tell you this is what it is, but that is determined based on your relationship with the Lord, as you grow in the Lord, as you seek the Lord's will for your life. And as we are patiently and eagerly waiting for God to come, or Jesus Christ to come, that is one of the things that in this year, in 2024, I've been explaining that we need to be pursuing God. We need to pursue him like never before. Just as the day approaches when Christ comes, but while we're waiting, I want to say that this is so interesting how, excuse me, the verse of this morning also ties in with what we're reading in Romans 8, right now. This is very important, though. As we're anticipating his return, this is what we should be doing. We should be seeking God's will. Okay. Seeking God's will in our lives. Okay. In other words, I think that a lot of us, we kind of wait on Sunday, for us to think about God, but you should be thinking about God 24/7. You should be thinking about him. You should be pursuing him 24/7. Your life should be consumed with the things of God. Okay. That means that yes, you could do life. You can do life. You can be responsible. You can do the things that you're supposed to do. Be responsible as a husband, a wife, or a father, mother, or child. Do those things that you're supposed to do. God doesn't say, oh, stop doing everything. No, you're supposed to go through life like you do. And the way God works through you is through your life. So that could mean the people that you encounter, the people that you're in relationship with, and those that are around you, as God matures you and grows you and matures you further. Guess what? You are impacting the world around you. Okay. Now let's continue on here. Verse 29, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. Okay. So that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Okay. Let's continue on. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right. He gave them right standing with himself, and having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. So remember, this was about the future glory. And at the end, we see of this portion of scripture, we see that God had given them the right of his glory. Give them his glory. Okay. What does that glory mean? What does it mean when he says glory? That could mean, remember Jesus, when he entered into the glory, or he, left, his physical state, and now he is glorified by God. And so again, we talked about how we would go through the suffering, but we also would go through having glory as well. And so look, so as Jesus goes through and Jesus has gone through what he has went through, so do we. Okay. The only thing that we will never have to worry about is there's two things. We will never have to worry about being crucified on a cross for the sins of mankind. I should say, let me clarify that. Because we don't know how we would suffer and we don't know how we would die. But Peter and other disciples did die in some of these horrific ways of how they died physically. Death is so quick though. And I want us to understand that death is just a blip. It's just a blink in your and blink and it's over. But understand this, the suffering that we go through on the earth, okay? In other words, the other side of suffering will be glory. Just understand that. Suffering may have to come first, but the other side of suffering is the glory that we will receive. And remember this, through the suffering, we've learned in this passage, we learned that he talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about the Holy Spirit will aid us, will tell us what to pray for in ways that we don't understand. There's a communication between the Holy Spirit and God. Matter of fact, has nothing to do with us. Only way it has something to do with us is because the Holy Spirit is living in us and will not leave us comfortless, will not leave us abandoned. Remember, God's word says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means he will always be with you. And that is the way in the third person of the Trinity, how the Holy Spirit is with us and aid us through what? Through the language, or whether it be the prayer that we don't know what to pray for, but God will help aid us in praying and communicating with God. We don't know what time in our lives or whether what time in our history that this will happen or has or is happening. We have to understand that, again, the times that we're living here on earth are getting worse. Okay. I'm not one to believe that all things are going to get better. According to the scriptures, we're on track to the coming of Christ and the redemption of the world. Remember, we talked about the creation is ready, is anticipating for the full redemption of not just Christ, but the revealing of his children, of who they are. Remember, I told you about the tares and the wheat. I told you about the differences. There will be so many that will say that they're Christians or children of God, but God understands and knows who they are. Only God knows who belongs to him. And this is why I said in the beginning of chapter 8, do you belong to God? Remember this. It says here as we close, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. Okay. Understand that he chose them to become like his son. And what does that mean? It doesn't just mean, oh, you know, we're going to be, you know, going around and healing and stuff like that. I'm not saying that we can't, but I am saying what's more important is that our nature becomes more like him. We become to mature more like his son. We become to look more like his son, identify to his son, who? Jesus Christ. So that the son would be what? Firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That means that your neighbor, your friend, your associate, who you associate with, will be firstborn. That means you are making an impact in the world around you. And so this is one of God's purposes or God's will. God's will, I would say overall, remember, there is also things that God may want you to do specifically, but one of the things that we can almost say as a blanket statement is that God's purpose and will is what is for you to be firstborn or for to be conformed to be like his son, Jesus Christ, so that his son, excuse me, will be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You will have an impact among those that are around you. There will be the true family of God. You know, we have the body of Christ, or what we consider the church, but out of that, out of the church, out of the body of Christ, there will be his true sons and daughters of God. And I don't want no one to feel like they're not represented here, but you are either a son or daughter of the Most High God. And he, one of the things that he's doing in all of us right now is he is maturing us. He's molding us into becoming more like his son, Jesus Christ. And listen to this as we close. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. Okay. And having called them, excuse me, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. So, you know, it's important to have right standing with God. Remember, I told you one of the most scariest scriptures that I've read, it comes from when it says that Jesus, we would say that, did I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? And Jesus would look at you and say, I don't know you. Depart from me, or the worker of iniquity, depart from me. And or I know you not. And to me, that is a very scary. That is very scary, because you don't want to live this life and think that you're living for God, or think that you're doing God's work, and God doesn't even know you. You're doing it in vain. You're only doing it for here, because for eternity, you will be separated from God for all eternity. And remember this, Jesus Christ died on the cross to suffer eternal separation. The sin that he endured, the sin that he was put upon him, and the wrath of God that he endured, we will never have to endure that. And that's what I was going to add that as well, is that those are the things that we won't have to go through. We won't never have to go through that. We may go through suffering, but we'll never have to go through what Christ endured on the cross. We'll never have to worry about eternal separation. We'll never have to do it, as long as, like the scripture says, as long as you're in Christ, as long as you're trusting not only in the death, the sacrifice of Christ, but you're also living your life where you're depending on Christ and depending on the Spirit of God, living according to the Spirit and not living according to the flesh. That means a daily dying to yourself, a daily dying to your will. Remember this, it's so important for us to understand, going back to the Holy Spirit, it is also, again, harmony with God's own will. We, you know, so many ways in our human understanding, where we hear people talk about it, they choose. They have a way of choosing. This is what I do. This is what I want to do. This is my plans. Listen, when you're in Christ, as you begin to grow in the Lord, you begin to put your will aside and say, you know what, whatever your will is for my life. That's what God wants us from. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to get to a place where we're submitting and surrendering to God fully. Okay. That is the journey that we should be on. We should be, again, pursuing God each and every day, but we should be constantly asking God what your will is, and mean it, not what our will is, not what we want, well, not what we desire. And listen to this. And just to encourage you, when you get into God's will, and you sacrifice your will and say, Lord, it's no longer me, my will, but it's your will, Lord. Guess what? You never know, and we do not know all the things that are according to God's will that will happen in your life. There are so many testimonies of people that when they submitted fully to the Lord, the Lord began to not only guide them in their lives for the things that God wanted them to do, and the people he wanted them to meet, and the impact that they would make in other people's lives, but also he would bless them along the way with things that they had desires for. Some of you may be desiring to be married. Some of you may be desiring children. Some of you may be desiring a promotion at your job. These are all things that God can provide and do with no problem. You know, but these are things that we desire. If you notice that, we desire a new job. We desire a promotion. We desire a house, a place to live. We desire a marriage, a family. So those are the things. And I'm not saying that God does not acknowledge those things. He really, truly does in our lives. But we have to understand and know that ultimately, and the scriptures say, when you seek God's will, when you seek the kingdom of God, okay, then all these things will be added unto you. Those things could be anything from the things that your heart desires, like the scriptures do say, but it's not limited to your heart's desires. Remember, it's so much more important that God's will and his purpose and plans for our lives are fulfilled, and that, you know, the blessings of the Lord are wonderful. They are kind of like the icing on top of the cake. But remember that whatever God has for you and leading you to and blessing you with, it's not just for you. It's so much more for others. God has a bigger plan than just you. Always remember that. I had to remember that. God has a bigger plan in purpose than just me. It's not just for me and my little world, but it's for me and whatever God wants to, how God wants to use me in his greater purpose. And always remember that there is a greater purpose. I don't care who you are. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, and what background you're from. God has a greater purpose than just blessing you in just your world. Okay, so just wanted to mention that. I hope that you really enjoyed this episode. And yes, it looks like we will have a part 3 because we have to continue on in Romans chapter 8. Such a wonderful chapter that we're reading. And I pray that this was an encouraging episode for you. Please share this episode, subscribe, and also please reread Romans chapter 8, just as well as rereading Romans 7 and Romans 6. But please reread this, meditate on it, study it, okay? Study God's word and continue in prayer constantly and be consumed by his presence. Be consumed with his will in your life. Amen. All right. I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you. And I'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.